Welcome to the Lifeway Student Ministry Podcast. I'm your host, Ben Trueblood. On the phone from a distance in another state is John Paul Basham.
Yo!
The long distance yo. And Jeff Pratt hanging out with us today as well.
What up?
So Jeff has been on two podcasts now.
In 2 years.
we keep a running tally of that for you, the podcast listener.
Yes.
But I know the first time you were on the podcast, you were about to begin cutting weight and training. Like, we talked about you breaking the glass to get your wrestling singlet back out. Like, you were about to begin this wrestling journey.
Yes.
And now phase one of the wrestling journey has been completed.
It has.
So we wanted to bring Jeff back in. I think we even mentioned this. We should have gone, like, a really professional podcast would have gone back and listened to it instead of saying, I think we said we would have Jeff back on, but we didn't do that. So I think we had Jeff on at that time. I think we said Jeff's going to come back on and we're going to give a report about the U.S. Open National Wrestling Tournament that Jeff was about to prepare for.
Yep.
So we are going to do that. John Paul is about to do a wedding in a different state, and we're all over the place. But this is going to be a great podcast episode, because there's a lot of stuff that you as a student pastor can glean, learn, absorb from the journey that Jeff's been on. I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely.
So can we title this podcast "Lessons from the Singlet"?
We can. That would be awesome.
That would be a tremendous title.
It really would be.
We would get we would get listeners just from the search that people would do.
Yes.
From that. So let's start in the very beginning. What made you say, man, it's been 32 years?
Yeah, about 33 years.
33 years since you'd wrestled competitively.
Right.
And you wrestled in college and wrestled for Team USA and those kind of things back then. But it's been 32 years.
That's
33
correct.
Years.
Yep.
What happened that made you say, I'm going to give this a shot?
Man, that's a great question that I ask myself now. I was telling somebody this morning at breakfast, I actually asked myself that question as I strapped my singlet on and walked to the scores table in my first match in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
Like, the thought that went through my mind was, what were you thinking? As I'm facing this Romanian guy named Clever Lang that was about to hit me 27 times in the ear.
That was a good boxing reference too.
Thank you. Yes. Yeah, he was.
What's his name? What was his name for real?
Constantine Tintilla.
Dude, anytime you wrestle somebody named Constantine.
No doubt.
I think that ups the ante.
Yeah, it really did. He was a
I feel
giant.
Like you got to give props to Constantine's parents.
Oh, no. Well, maybe.
Constantine Tintilla. That's maybe. Just like a, man, if that's not a memorable name, I don't know what is.
It sounds like a nursery rhyme.
Yeah, it really does.
Constantine Tintilla went to the store.
And he looked like a concrete block is what he looked like.
Yeah.
With clubs on his shoulders.
And he gave you cauliflower ear.
Yes, he did.
Which, if you don't know what that is, a lot of wrestlers and MMA fighters get the cauliflower ear. Basically, your ear gets all swollen.
Yeah, basically.
Looks like a cauliflower.
Yeah.
Yeah, the skin separates from the cartilage in your ear, and pockets fill up with blood, which creates the cauliflower look.
This is a great podcast already. Everybody that's listening is like, how are you going to relate this to student ministry?
Yeah, here's what happened to me. A Clever Lang hit me so many times in the side of the head, my ear exploded. And all of the skin separated from my ear. And so it just filled up with blood. It looked like a balloon. It was unbelievable.
In match one.
In match one. In the first period of match one.
But you beat him.
I did beat him.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a good match. So,
hey, you didn't only beat him. You broke his ribs slamming him on the mat.
That's true. Only because I didn't want him to get up. Like, I just like, I've got him down. He can't get up from here. Because if he hits me one more time, my head's going to explode. So, man, I don't know what made me want to do it, but I was just looking at some wrestling, some things on a website, Flow Wrestling, and discovered that they have this master's level. And I just thought it would be really interesting and a lot of fun to travel with a group of guys one more time and represent the United States if I could do that. And so I had a chance to do that back in 1985 with a team of guys. We toured, I think, the year I was – on that tour, we went to Greece, Paris, Yugoslavia, which Yugoslavia doesn't even exist anymore. But So it was just awesome to represent USA in that context. And I thought, man, how much fun would it be to do that one more time?
Yeah.
And so it was just a great opportunity to, do something I love, because I love wrestling and have loved staying in, you know, staying involved with it. Second, could it be something that I could lose, you know, get motivation to lose weight, to get my lungs back in shape, to get my mobility a lot better than it was. So just all of those things kind of work together to say, man, let's give it a shot.
Yeah. So you mentioned getting healthy, losing weight, mm-hmm. which I think is definitely something that we can relate to student ministry. You know, we could spend some time like saying, hey, you should all in student ministry, it's okay to ask the question, why did I get into this?
Right.
You know, like you were walking up to the scorer's table. There may be times as a student pastor where you're walking out to preach and you think, man, you're walking into a meeting and you think, why did I get into this? So I think that's a good evaluation question. And I think a lot of times that's a question that we can ask, having the faith and trust that God's going to confirm our call. That's
right.
God's going to say like, man, this is why I called you to do this. Something that John Paul has talked about several times before on the Student Pastor Network and other podcasts that we've mentioned is the importance of in student ministry paying attention to your health, because mm-hmm. your effectiveness to lead and run hard in student ministry, your body is either going to help you do that or hinder you from running as hard as you need to run, because student ministry is difficult,
right?
And it requires a lot from you physically as well as mentally and spiritually. So talk about kind of the physical journey and what you had to do to be ready.
Yeah, so I knew to get into this environment, a couple of things had to happen. Number one, I wanted to prove to myself that I was committed enough to do this. And so I could have wrestled a higher weight class, but I chose a lower weight class to force myself to lose about 30 pounds. And so I felt like if I wasn't committed to lose that kind of weight, then I wasn't committed to step out on the mat again. And so one of the things I told myself early was, let's see if we can, let's cross this hurdle first. And so that was a big concern of mine, was losing weight. I needed to do that anyway. But this gave me a goal to shoot for, which I think you need to have. And then secondly, was getting my lungs back. I hadn't really worked hard enough to get in cardiovascular shape to where I could go out and wrestle 6 minutes. I mean, I remember when I was in college, you know, wrestling a 7 minute match. I mean, it was hard then. So what was it going to feel like as a 53-year-old getting in shape to wrestle a 6 minute match? And so I knew those two things had to happen. So I wanted to get my lungs in shape, and I wanted to get my weight under control. And so I was able over the course of the last 4 or 5 months to lose about 40 pounds. It really lost a little too much weight. My weight class was 187, went in at 183, probably should have went in at 190 looking back at it. But now for the Worlds, I'm going to drop on down to a lower weight class. So I guess it positioned me well for that. But it really was, you know, through this journey of shooting for this goal of wrestling in this national wrestling tournament, you know, it allowed me to get healthy. It allowed me to get my lungs in shape. It allowed me to get off blood pressure medicine. There were just a lot of things physically that allowed me to, I think, be better in the other things that I do. I mean, I just remember, Ben, when you and I were in China and walking up and down those hills, walking up and down those mountains, getting tired, getting out of breath, thinking, man, this is ridiculous. I mean, my physical condition was hindering what I was able to do for the Lord.
Yeah.
And it's just frustrating. And I thought, man, it doesn't have to be this way.
Yeah.
So that was really, I think, coming off that trip and then looking for this opportunity really led into kind of where I am now.
Man, I think another cool thing about this whole journey that we can relate to student ministry is the importance of always pushing yourself to dream.
Yeah, that's right.
Because I think, I mean, this was a big deal. Yes, you have a long history of wrestling and you've been successful in it, but 33 years off the mat, this makes this a brand new journey. You weren't starting from scratch, but not having done something for 33 years and then going to the national tournament and having your eyes on being the world champion in Bulgaria here not too long from now is a big dream. It's an exciting dream.
No, yeah, you're exactly right, and you've got to go into it with that. I mean, you can't, you know, you can't decide to do something like this and say, "Man, I'm going to be really excited to go compete." You know, man, I'm not going to get
right.
I'm not going to get motivated to lose 40 pounds to go compete.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm going to win. I mean, you know, everybody on the floor has asked me, you know, what do you think? Well, I'm going to win. I mean, how can you go in without that? And that's what drives you, and you've got to set that goal. I mean, you know, I wrote down a couple of things that I kind of learned over this plan or over this process, and you know, one of those is you got to set a goal. I mean, you have to set a goal, and so I've always been taught, man, you shoot for the moon, land on a star. So I'm gonna be the national champ. I'm gonna be the world champion, man. If it ends up I end up second, that's okay. But I'm not gonna go out there shooting for second. I'm not gonna go out there shooting to, you know, to get in the top five. Man, I'm gonna go out there and I'm gonna train to win. Because that affects how I train. That affects what you do. That affects your motivation level. If I'm just training to place, then I'm just not going to train as hard.
Yeah. John Paul, I love that you brought up the dream aspect of it. And I think for student ministry leaders, I think it's a good check. Man, it's a good check for me to just think about, when's the last time you set aside a moment to just dream about something big? Not execute an event, not plan something, not develop strategy for something, not recruit someone, but like just to sit and dream and say, God, what is this massive thing that scares me to death that you want me to do?
Mm-hmm.
What is something that I can't just sit here and think of that literally I have to dream up for me to do in my ministry, for me to do in what you've called me to do? I think that's something that the majority of student ministry leaders don't have a frequent practice of engaging in.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. And because we're so many times we're so framed by the context we're in that we don't allow ourselves to think outside of that. And I just think we have to be people. One of the reasons I wanted to do this, you know, was to show my kids, even though my kids are 27, 25 and 21. I mean, I want my kids to see at 53, you can decide to be a world champion, and it's going to take hard work, and it's going to take sacrifice, and it's just going to be a tough journey, but you can do that, and you can dream that. And if you go after it, then you can see some cool things accomplished. So, and it doesn't come without bumps and bruises. It doesn't come without difficulties, but it's all worth the journey. I mean, what I had to go through with my ear when I got back wasn't pleasant. But man, it was worth the journey. And there's a few other things that I'm healing up from just from the national tournament, but it's worth the journey. And I can't wait to get back on the mat and train for the world championships. And so, but I think you're right. I think we are so framed by the context that we're in that we don't allow God to show us what he wants to do in us and through us.
Well, and I think there was I know I was sitting in the room while your whole camp team was cheering you on and watching you against Constantine Tintilla. And I think it was a great motivator. You know, it was a point of pride for your whole team to watch you go pursue this thing, to go do this thing. And I think one of the things that you take away from that is that when the leader of any initiative, of any ministry, you know, whatever context you're putting this in, when the leader is dreaming and stepping out and pursuing big things, they're going to lead their teams. They're going to lead the people that are following them to do those same things and to take pride in those big steps and to be motivated to run together just as hard as the leaders running.
Yeah. And it was so exciting for me to know that those that you guys were sitting around a TV in a room watching this happen and cheering me on. You know, I'm out there just getting clubbed, you know, in the side of my head, and man, there's 15 people in a room cheering me on. So it just meant so much for them to have something to rally around. It was really cool.
Which speaks to the need and importance of community.
Yeah, that's right.
In anything that we do. So I think one of the things that you've said around the office a lot, Jeff, is you have to love what you do, but you also have to love who you do it with.
That's right.
And just the importance of that team. And man, it makes fulfilling your calling and it makes doing that job a whole lot easier when you love the people and enjoy the people that you do ministry with. And so in student ministry, that can be a staff team, that can be your volunteer team. And I know that sometimes in our calling, we're, you know, God asks us to stay in places that are difficult.
Right.
And just because something gets gets more difficult, or there's a struggle, or there's a relational issue that happens in one of those teams or who you do ministry with, that doesn't mean we pick up and leave. But the reality is that when there's a team of people that you enjoy doing ministry with, it makes it that much easier to get up and fulfill that calling and go. And when you do have a struggle, to fight with people alongside you.
That's right.
That you know are there supporting you and cheering you on and in the trenches with you.
Yeah, that's right.
So I know you put together a list of some quick things that you kind of took out of this experience.
Yeah. There were six things that I wrote down that I thought, man, these are, you know, as I thought about this, these are some things that I'm learning through this journey that just some are reminders and some are good lessons to apply that I think have application to what we do in student ministry. First is make sure your identity is tied to the right source. So like I needed to understand and I needed to remember that man, I'm not diving back into Jeff Pratt, the wrestler. That's not who I am. It's just what I get to do. And so regardless of whatever the Lord allows me to do in that, it's just a fun thing I get to do, but it's not who I am. And so many times we can get wrapped up in our identity with what we do. So identity is not our job. Our identity is not our hobby. Man, our identity is in Christ. And so just remembering that, man, your identity is not in how successful your student ministry is or it isn't.
Yeah.
Our identity is in Christ. Second is dream a dream. Man, never stop dreaming. One of the reasons I wanted to do this was to show my kids, even though they're 27, 25, and 21, man, at 53, you can still dream big dreams and you can still go after things. And it's fine. And so you dream a dream and that's good to do that. So hopefully they see that. I think in student ministry, sometimes we get framed by the context that we're in and we can't dream beyond that.
Yeah.
So man, never quit dreaming for the ministry that you're involved in. Like not dreaming beyond where, like what's my next place to go to, but man, what does God want this to be?
Yeah. That's a great add on too about the dream isn't, man, where am I going to be?
That's right.
20 years from now. It's how does God want to use me right now in the place that I'm at.
Yeah. And dream in that context until he moves you to another one. Third is get a plan. Nate Carr, a good buddy of mine, bronze medalist in the 88 Olympics, always says no strategy, no victory. So I knew to be a world champ, I needed to have a strategy. So mine was lose 35 pounds, cardio 4 days a week, lift 3 days a week, wrestle 3 days a week. So, and that's just what I've committed to, and it's hard work. But I knew I had to have a plan. I couldn't just decide to do this and show up one day in a singlet and hope it was going to work out.
Right.
Had to have a strategy. And so I think, again, for all of us, no strategy, no victory. If there's no strategy in your student ministry on how you're going to grow, how you're going to reach students, how you're going to develop leaders, it's not just going to happen.
Yeah.
Fourth was know your competition. And I think that's for me, in my context, there were a limited number of videos that I could go out and watch. And it wasn't really as much for me knowing competition, but be prepared for competition. And I think that's what I wasn't. Even though I trained hard, cardio hard, lost weight, wrestled hard, I didn't put myself in competitive environments enough to be ready for, man, first match, putting the singlet on, looking at Romanian Clubber Lang over there about to rip my head off. And I'm going to the scores table, and the question I'm asking myself is, what was I thinking? Just the adrenaline dump that hit and realizing, man, I hadn't put myself in this environment enough. So training and training smart, to me, I think was something that I learned that I think we need to do. And I think in ministry, man, I just think we have to be putting ourselves out there and be prepared for what's coming. Sometimes we can go to seminary and we can study the classes and we can read the books and we can do those things. But if you're not involved in the lives of students, you're not really applying that directly to what's happening.
Yeah.
So I think it's good. I think it really is just getting in the mud and walking with them and being a part of their life. Fifth is just work hard. It was hard and it's still hard. And, you know, we're getting ready to go train and I'll go train tomorrow morning. And it's just hard. And I think anything that is worth accomplishing is hard. And so it takes a lot of time, but we just have to work hard. And I think we see that in ministry. You've mentioned, you know, Matt Chandler talked about how enjoyable it is to go to bed exhausted.
Yeah. Yeah. It's an amazing thing that he kind of walks through, and not amazing from like, oh, this is some earth shattering thing I've never heard before, but just the value of going to bed exhausted.
Yeah.
And he talks about family and work and ministry and all those things and like pouring yourself out every single day.
Right. Well, and for me, man, you know, it was my kids at first and we try to do that with them. Now it's with my granddaughter. It's work. It's, it's all consuming, but it's life. Yeah. I mean, it's just, it's what we get to do. You know, we're preparing to go to program training and we'll be 24/7 and man, yeah. but it's just, it's so exciting because I mean, at the end of it, we'll be exhausted, but it'll feel good.
Yeah.
You know, because we're about to do camp for 60,000 teenagers.
Yeah,
you know,
which is awesome.
Yeah, so it's a great joy. And then the last thing, man, is just don't walk alone. I had a guy named Brian Fussell that was my training partner. He was my strength and conditioning coach. He helped me with weight management. He's a guy in our church that owns an MMA gym, IMA Fitness. And, I mean, I couldn't have done it without
this
guy.
That was a smooth shout out for those of you local.
No doubt about it.
it's all paying off for him now.
Yeah, it is. IMA on the singlet.
That's right. I love it.
But man, I couldn't have done it without this guy. I mean, he's trained with me. I mean, he just sent me a text message that said, I'm mowing my yard today so I can kick your butt tomorrow, you know? So that's just, that's who Brian is. And he's, you know, he's not a collegiate level wrestler, but man, he trains with me every time I want to train. And he went to Vegas with me and he drained my ear and, you know, whatever I needed him to do.
It's commitment.
Hey, man, I'm telling you, if you're sticking a needle in a guy's ear and draw five cc's of blood out, it's commitment. So
we're going to have to put like the parental advisory on the tag on this one.
No doubt. but man, I couldn't have done it without him. You know, when I was in Vegas, you know, the last Greco match of that tournament, tore cartilage in my ribs, had the freestyle tournament the next day. And I was down, and he pumped me back up, taped me up, pushed me back out there, you know. So it would have been easy just to quit, to walk away at that point.
Yeah.
But it was because he was there, man, he kept me going. And I just think in ministry over the years, you know, who have been those people for me that have kept me going when I wanted to quit, when I wanted to walk away, when I was done at a church. And, you know, somebody there that I'd walked with, man, lifted you up and kept you going. I think it's so important for us to have that kind of person.
Yeah, don't do ministry alone.
That's exactly right. Yeah, don't find yourself in isolation for sure.
Yep. Well, man, I appreciate you letting all of us who work with you here be a part of the journey with you and for letting the podcast audience kind of follow up on a conversation that began months and months and months ago and letting them in to your journey as well. So Jeff's continuing to train. The final results was took second place in the national tournament in Las Vegas and is heading to Bulgaria this fall.
Yep.
To be the world champ.
That's right. That's right. Going to go, it's the first week in October, be in Plovdiv, Bulgaria. not even Sofia, which is the one place that you would fly into.
Yeah, Plovdiv.
No, it's in Plovdiv, which there's nothing there but a gym, evidently.
And so, I never knew it was even a place.
So we'll see, but it's going to be great to travel with a group of guys again representing the United States.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. Well, I hope you've enjoyed following up with Jeff's story and hearing kind of what he's taken away. Some really, really good student ministry truths that came out of that journey. And man, one that sticks out to me is that don't do ministry alone. Have somebody in your corner that's willing to do the difficult things with you to keep you running in your race, to keep you fighting in your fight and fulfilling your calling. This has been the Lifeway Student Ministry Podcast. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next time.
See ya.